Today is Trinity Sunday. It's the only Sunday of the church year that is set aside for a theological concept. It's a Sunday to speak to the mystery of God, an attempt to explain the unexplainable, to try to speak to the profound mystery that cannot be explained, but because we are human beings, we enjoy the mystery and want to define God. Thus, the Trinity. God is known in three ways. We experience those three ways. First of all, God is our Father, Creator, the one who has set in motion everything we know within the created order, the world as we know it, creator of all things, creatures who have lived and died, humanity, space, time. We speak of God as a creator, and as human beings, we delve into the mystery of God as we learn about creation through science and how God has given us brains to discover what is already there for us to discover. It's profound, mysterious, but here we are. Here we are. Second is the person of Jesus, who came to us as one of us in our humanity. Jesus, the reflection of the living God, to share with us that in the fullness of our humanity, he was with us. He lived and died as one of us. His reflection of God and the mystery of God is a moment in time that is a transition of our story with God. We cannot escape his presence in the world. Millions and millions of people have been a part of his life, death, and resurrection over the centuries. And today we find the uniqueness of his person in the Eucharist that we share today. And then finally, we experience the mystery of God in the life of the Spirit. Last week, we moved through Pentecost and have once again discovered the way that God moves within us and all of creation. We are surrounded in our individual and community lives by the Spirit of God, offering light to the world that often lives in darkness. We know darkness, and we know light. We know that the darkness is overcome by light, and it is in this knowledge that we are led into relating to God as Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or also expressed as Creator, Redeemer, and Friend. Mind you, thousands and thousands of books have been written exploring the subject of the Trinity, so I trust that if you haven't read something, you will do so in one of the books that has been written throughout history. Further your knowledge. But the truth is that each of us, as individuals, carries the Trinity with us, within us. We are walking, talking, expressions of the Trinity of God as we live and move and have our own being. One way to look at the Trinity is a three-legged stool with a seat representing everything within creation, including us as individuals. When I was in seminary, the theologian by the name of Paul Tillich described the meaning of God as the ground of all being. Everything below us, around us, and above us is the ground of our being. In Christianity, we discover ourselves through knowledge of our relationship with our neighbor, ourselves, and our God. Now I'm going to switch to a story now. And I want you to reflect on what I've said just previously. Reflect as the story goes on about the Trinity. Elaine and I had another opportunity to go to London, England, several weeks ago, feed two cats last month, and house sit. This could become an interesting habit. The people we sat our cats for is a friend of our daughter. So we hope that she has many friends in exotic places that we can feed their cats. We went to a play in London that had just arrived in Piccadilly Square. You may have heard of the play. I hadn't. It was new to me. The name of the play, Come From Away. I had never heard of it before. But it's a story about 9/11. Where were you on 9/11? Each of us has a place that we can remember hearing about what was taking place, watching it on the TV. I was sitting in a restaurant in Milwaukee, having my breakfast and watching the TV. I just finished my 7 o'clock Tuesday morning service, ordering my breakfast. The darkness that can invade our lives was happening that day. And as the day unfolded, we experienced that darkness. And as a helicopter crashed this week in New York, it was a reminder of the tragedy and the fear that swept through New York and our country on 9/11. Was it happening again? Was in the minds of people last week. But the story of 9/11 was not just in New York City. Planes that were in the air throughout the world were diverted to other landing places because no one knew what was happening. Do you know about the island of Newfoundland off the east coast of Canada? Some of you may have even been there. In 2001, on 9/11, the town of Gander in Newfoundland, a town of 10,000 people, was suddenly asked to house, feed, and comfort 7,000 passengers of 38 planes that were diverted during 9/11. 38 planes with 7,000 people became a part of the Gander community for 5 days until their planes were allowed to fly to their destinations. The play is filled with individual stories and how the town responded generously to the tragedy that was unfolding in New York City, and the way that the people of Gander pulled together to welcome total strangers into their homes. The local radio station would update the needs 3 times a day, and the play itself shows how humanity can do and does respond to the needs of others. There's one person that takes care of the responsibility of caring for 19 dogs and cats aboard the planes, and even 2 monkeys. Relationships come into being. People fall in love. Stories of the past are shared. A rabbi hears the story of a Jewish man who had survived the Holocaust and never had talked about it. The call for toilet paper fills up a classroom at the school, and the radio announcer has to say, enough is enough. The room at school has no more room for toilet paper. As the worst was happening in New York City, the 7,000 people saw the best of humanity. Many of the passengers could not speak English. Many religions were represented, including Muslim, many tribes of people. How to accommodate the many and various needs, dietary, medical, the relationships outside in other countries on phone calls. One passenger could not reach her son, who was a firefighter in New York. She later found out that he died during the collapse of the towers. A number of children from the Make-A-Wish Foundation that we all hear about wanted to go to Disneyland for their birthday. And of course, the diverted plane would not take them there. So a 16-year-old girl put together a birthday party for them, which included 350 people, balloons, clowns, and cakes. In general, the people of Gander reacted to the strangers as though they were their own neighbors, opening their homes, their hearts, offering food, phone time, showers, or just maybe a hug. So the play is about 5 days with 7,000 strangers suddenly arriving in a town of 10,000 people. And what we find is that in the midst of the darkness, there's a light that is lit that shines brightly as people share and care. And I would submit to you that the understanding of God as we know God was being acted out in the midst of a community that accepted their place within creation, shared their space with diverse people. To remind ourselves of the reading from Romans that was heard earlier, I'll read it again. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces character. Character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The God of history was acting through the lives of many, and this story in Gander, Newfoundland, is just one example of how God moves within creation, bringing light out of darkness, healing out of suffering, as we offer ourselves to each other and to God. Amen.